The papacy is the single most enduring institution in the history of the world, with a set of office holders that we can trace from today back 2,000 years. In the West, there's simply no other institution that we have that goes back that far, nor in the East. Is this just a freak accident of history or something else? Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. Excited to get into this one today because it's kind of one of those episodes where you cite the words of your enemy and they kind of make the case for you in this case. So in this case, we are talking today about Thomas Babington Macaulay. I think that's how you pronounce it. He lived from 1800 to 1859, and he was one of the great scholars and statesmen of Victorian England. But like most of his countrymen in those days and now, he was not Catholic. But in October 1840, writing in the Edinburgh Review on a recent book on the history of the popes, he had the most striking words to offer on the enduring nature of the papacy and the Catholic Church compared with every other institution in the world. So we share these words here merely to spur reflection. Macaulay was an anti-Catholic Protestant historian. He wasn't a theologian. He did not believe the papacy was divinely established. But his words about the papacy are striking. The fact that it was so enduring, very memorable. Is this fact of the papacy's endurance a mere coincidence? That's a question I think we should consider while we're reading what Macaulay said about the papacy. If it's not a coincidence, is it rather the manifestation in history of Christ's words to St. Peter that he would establish his church on a rock, the very term by which he renamed the previously named Simon to Peter, which means rock, and that the gates of hell would never prevail against it. That goes back to Matthew 16:18. In considering the case for the Catholic Church, I've often been reminded of C.S. Lewis's famous argument that Christ could only be Lord, liar, or lunatic. His claims were simply such that no other options were possible. If those are the only options when it comes to Christ, it is no stretch to conclude the same would be true of his church, which Scripture routinely calls his body. So with that, we'll get into the roadmap for today's episode. Our roadmap is as follows. Our thesis is that the reflections of the Victorian-era non-Catholic, indeed anti-Catholic historian Thomas Babington Macaulay accurately depict the reality of the papacy and thereby provide good evidence that it was divinely established by Jesus Christ, a conclusion Macaulay does not himself state. And we'll show this by first quoting Macaulay's words about the papacy, and then summarizing the conclusions this very anti-Catholic Protestant historian reached about the enduring reality of the papacy, and then offering some conclusions about the only two options left to us if Macaulay's observations are correct. And I think they are. So let's get into Macaulay's words. Here they are from the Edinburgh Review in October 1840, and the title of his essay is Ranke's History of the Popes. This was this new book at the time about the history of the popes. Quote, "There is not, and there never was on this earth, a work of human policy so well deserving of examination as the Roman Catholic Church." So obviously, he says human policy, so he does not believe the church is divinely established. "The history of that church joins together the two great ages of human civilization. No other institution is left standing which carries the mind back to the times when the smoke of sacrifice rose from the Pantheon, and when camelopards, that's an archaic word for giraffes, and tigers bounded in the Flavian amphitheater, that's the Colosseum. The proudest royal houses are but of yesterday when compared with the line of the supreme pontiffs. That line we trace back in an unbroken series from the Pope who crowned Napoleon in the 19th century, which had happened only a few decades before Macaulay wrote this, to the Pope who crowned Pepin in the 8th, and far beyond the time of Pepin, the August dynasty extends till it is lost in the twilight of fable. The Republic of Venice came next in antiquity, but the Republic of Venice was modern when compared with the papacy, and the Republic of Venice is gone, and the papacy remains. The papacy remains not in decay, not a mere antique, but full of life and youthful vigor. the Catholic Church is still sending forth to the farthest ends of the world missionaries as zealous as those who landed in Kent with Augustine, referring to St. Augustine, not of Hippo, but of Canterbury, who brought the gospel to what is now the United Kingdom, or at least the most famous missionary effort, and still confronting hostile kings with the same spirit with which she confronted Attila, referring to the papacy. The number of her children is greater than in any former age. Her acquisitions in the New World have more than compensated for what she has lost in the Old, referring, of course, to the loss of Catholics post the Protestant revolt. Her spiritual ascendancy extends over the vast countries which lie between the plains of the Missouri and Cape Horn, countries which a century hence may not improbably contain a population as large as that which now inhabits Europe. Quick pause. He's referring to Africa and whatnot, also the New World. And of course, that's turned out to be entirely correct. So continuing, the members of her communion, the Catholic communion, are certainly not fewer than 150 million. Of course, it's over a billion now. And it will be difficult to show that all other Christian sects united amount to 120 million. Nor do we see any sign which indicates that the term of her long dominion is approaching. She saw the commencement of all the governments and of all the ecclesiastical establishments that now exist in the world, and we feel no assurance that she is not destined to see the end of them all. She was great and respected before the Saxon had set foot on Britain, before the Frank had passed the Rhine, when Grecian eloquence still flourished at Antioch, when idols were still worshipped in the temple of Mecca. And she may still exist in undiminished vigor when some traveler from New Zealand shall, in the midst of a vast solitude, take his stand on a broken arch of London Bridge to sketch the ruins of St. Paul's. Continuing, the history of Catholicism strikingly illustrates these observations, and these observations were that progress, quote unquote, had not led to Protestant dominance or the death of the Catholic Church. Continuing, during the last seven centuries, the public mind of Europe has made constant progress in every department of secular knowledge. But in religion, we can trace no constant progress. The ecclesiastical history of that long period is a history of movement to and fro. Four times since the authority of the Church of Rome was established in Western Christendom has the human intellect risen up against her yoke. Twice that church remained completely victorious. Twice she came forth from the conflict bearing the marks of cruel wounds, but with the principle of life still strong within her. When we reflect on the tremendous assaults which she has survived, we find it difficult to conceive in what way she is to perish. And I think the two crises he's referring to that she survived, even with some wounds, was the Protestant revolt and probably the investiture crisis in the late 11th century, which was when Pope Gregory VII was basically confronting the Roman Emperor, the Holy Roman Emperor at the time, saying, no, you can't appoint the clergy. That's solely the prerogative of the Pope. Continuing, it is impossible to deny that the polity of the Church of Rome is the very masterpiece of human wisdom. In truth, nothing but such a polity could, against such assaults, have borne up such doctrines. The experience of 1,200 eventful years, the ingenuity and patient care of 40 generations of statesmen have improved that polity to such perfection that among the contrivances which have been devised for deceiving and oppressing mankind, again, he's clearly not a Catholic, it occupies the highest place. The stronger our conviction that reason and scripture were decidedly on the side of Protestantism, the greater is the reluctant admiration with which we regard that system of tactics against which reason and scripture were employed in vain. If we went at large into this most interesting subject, we should fill volumes. Again, very, very interesting. Clearly not a Catholic, but just has to acknowledge he's kind of tipping his hat to the Catholic Church. So continuing on. The Arabs have a fable that the Great Pyramid was built by antediluvian kings. Antediluvian means before the flood of Noah. And alone of all the works of men bore the weight of the flood. Such as this was the fate of the papacy. It had been buried under the great inundation, but its deep foundations had remained unshaken. And when the waters abated, it appeared alone amidst the ruins of a world which had passed away. The Republic of Holland was gone, and the Empire of Germany and the Great Council of Venice and the old Helvetian League and the House of Bourbon and the parliaments and aristocracy of France, Europe was full of young creations. A French Empire, a Kingdom of Italy, a Confederation of the Rhine. Nor had the late events affected only territorial limits and political institutions. The distribution of property and the composition and spirit of society had, through a great part of Catholic Europe, undergone a complete change. But the unchangeable church was still there. I'm going to repeat that. That's what this anti-Catholic Protestant historian said. But the unchangeable church was still there. Unquote. So, from Macaulay's observations, we see that even this very anti-Catholic historian came to the following conclusions in his attempt to objectively analyze history. First, while ascribing it to human policy and human wisdom, he describes the institution of the papacy as the most enduring in history. He also said that the papacy is the institution that connects the modern world with ancient history. The papacy is far older than even the greatest royal houses of Europe. And despite its age, the papacy is not decrepit, but in his words, full of life and youthful vigor. The papacy was a great institution even prior to the rise of Islam and before Saxons ever stepped foot in Britain. The papacy had surmounted so many shocks throughout history that Macaulay found it, quote, difficult to conceive in what way she is to perish, unquote. No appeals to scripture or reason on the part of Protestants and others had been able to defeat the papacy. And such was the papacy's endurance that Macaulay called it, quote, the unchangeable church, unquote. That sounds like one we'd like to be a part of, personally. So these conclusions from Macaulay leave us with two possible options. Two. Either the papacy is a freak accident of history, continually defying the odds at civilizational scale for 2,000 years, or it was truly established by Christ and thus the beneficiary of his promise that the gates of hell would never prevail against his church. C.S. Lewis said it best, Jesus is Lord, liar, or lunatic. The same is true of his church, the Catholic Church. If this is all a freak accident. This is why some of the Protestants ascribe the papacy, the power of the papacy, the endurance of the papacy, the continuation of the papacy, to the power of Satan. And in many ways, that's really all you're left with. It's either the power of Satan or the power of God. And when you look at the history of the papacy, it's impossible to conclude that it is simply some random occurrence. It's a freak accident, completely unlike anything else in history, or it's something that God himself has provided for, has established, and maintained. So with that, we hope those are reflections from an anti-Catholic Protestant historian that are worth considering. I'd encourage everybody to go to eternalchristian.com, check out Becoming Catholic at the very top of the homepage, and go to articles, quote archives, study banks. You'll find many of all three of those about the papacy. We've got a papacy quote archive that's nearly 60,000 words of quotes from the church fathers. It's all sourced to original sources to where you can see the ancient establishment of the papacy for yourself straight from the receipts of all these guys right behind me, the church fathers. So it's truly, Macaulay saw it in history. I have seen it in history. When you study history, you see God's providential protection of the church, of the papacy, despite sometimes its worst faults and despite periods of corruption and scandal. It's truly humbling to witness. And I want to thank all of you, especially patrons who are helping making the work of Eternal Christian possible, because with that support, with that tax deductible support, we are going into all this stuff and we are trying to extract as much treasure as possible to give it to all of you so that you can all give it to your friends and family so that as many people as possible can become, remain, and deepen their lives as Catholics, hidden with Christ and God, quote in Colossians 3:3 there. So with that, check out eternalchristian.com, check out all the resources on the papacy, and we'll have a lot more coming on that topic in coming days. And we will close with our normal anthem verse, Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you, and on earth I desire nothing besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.